This is the Quality News Network. In Detroit, a federal judge has immediately halted the government's warrantless wiretap program after ruling it unconstitutional. The judge said the National Security Agency's program violates freedom of speech and privacy. The Justice Department will appeal the decision, calling the program an essential tool for the intelligence community in the war on terror. In southern Lebanon, troops began deploying south of the Litani River as the Israeli military continued its withdrawal from the area and handed over some positions to UN peacekeepers. However, the Lebanese cabinet has said its soldiers will not go after Hezbollah militants nor try to disarm them. In Beirut, the first passenger flight arrived at the international airport after a five-week Israeli air blockade. However, the Israeli naval blockade of Lebanese ports remains in place. At the United Nations, the countries that could be part of the UN peacekeeping force in southern Lebanon will meet today to work out the proposed details. France had been expected to lead the force, but is now saying it only wants to send a small symbolic number of troops to the region. In Iraq, U.S. military officials reported that last month the number of roadside bombs planted to strike U.S. and Iraqi forces increased greatly. In July, more than 2,600 bombs exploded or were discovered. That's up from 1,400 in January. In Baghdad, a car bomb blast near a market in a Shiite neighborhood killed seven people. Another car bomb killed three bystanders in western Baghdad. Two American soldiers also died today. In North Carolina, a former CIA contractor was found guilty today of assault in connection with the beating of an Afghan detainee who later died of his injuries. He faces up to 11 years in prison. In Afghanistan, near the Pakistan border, a U.S. airstrike killed 12 Afghani police and wounded two. The U.S. military is investigating the incident. In Boston, the woman who caused a flight scare on a transatlantic trip yesterday will be charged with interfering with a flight crew for the disturbance. In San Diego, the accused Mexican drug kingpin, who was captured yesterday on a fishing boat off the Baja California coast, was brought to a federal detention center to be booked. Ariano Phoenix is believed to be responsible for moving tons of cocaine and marijuana to the U.S. through massive border drug tunnels. And in California, the state senate has passed a bill that would allow farmers to legally grow industrial hemp. The crops would have to be tested. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
In Washington, President Bush signed legislation today that pushes companies to strengthen their pension plans. It's the most sweeping reform in three decades. In New Orleans, the drug maker Merck has been found negligent by a federal jury in a Vioxx trial and ordered to pay $51 million in damages to the plaintiff. In New Jersey state court, Merck was also handed a setback as a judge overturned an earlier verdict that had ruled in favor of the company. The Labor Department reports that last week the number of workers filing for unemployment benefits was 312,000. That's 10,000 fewer than the previous week and a larger drop than economists had expected. Northwest Airlines flight attendants may go on strike as soon as August 25th. In Minneapolis today, a federal bankruptcy judge denied the airline's request to block the strike. Northwest says it will appeal. Boeing announced it is ending its in-flight internet service because the market for it was just not large enough. The shutdown charge will cost Boeing $320 million. A growing number of politicians are creating pages on MySpace.com, turning to the website to win the youth vote. One political consultant likens the popular online hangout to the soda fountains of the 1950s. Light sweet crude settled at $70.06 a barrel today. And near the close of Wall Street, the Dow is up 8 points. The Nasdaq is up 8 points as well. And the S&P 500 is up 2. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff. The time is now 5 minutes past the hour.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, me strike. Today's Tom Sawyer, me pride.
Right, it's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' gains, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
Good afternoon and welcome one more time to the Bruce Birch Radio Program, radio for a freer America. And boy, I think we've got a little bit of a freer America today, thanks to a judge, a federal judge in Chicago. I don't know if you know anything about this. I'm sure you probably already do, but we're going to talk about this today. Oh, my God. The challenge to the illegal NSA spying. That's right. A federal judge has struck down the NSA spying program and has declared it unconstitutional. Woohoo! Yes! Score! Oh, man. That's fantastic. Isn't that great news? I think it's fantastic news. Now, of course, being the resident decider, he will not stand for anything like this. How dare a lowly activist judge strike down what I've written? I am the president! Don't you understand? I'm the president. Okay. Anyway, we're going to talk about that some today. I'm happy as I can be. I'm rocking because I think this is fantastic. It's about time that a judge stood for the Constitution rather than for big money and big oil, right? Fantastic. All right, if you want to get in on the show today, you heard the man at the top of the hour, 1-877-443-2366. Is the number, bruce@brucebirch.com, Bruce Birch, B-U-R-C-H, bruce@brucebirch.com is my email address. If you want to relay information to me that way, I'll accept it that way as well. You can also go to headonradionetwork.com. If you're listening to this stream, chances are you're already there. But if you're not, come over to our chat room and hang out. There's a bunch of people in there hanging out this afternoon. Let's see, how many people are there? I don't know, probably about 10 or so, 10 or 11, something like that. So please do come and hang out with us today. I think it is we've got a lot of good news today. Also, it appears that the California State Senate has passed an industrial hemp bill, which is one more step in the right direction of trying to get us off of the oil that we suck up out of the ground. Industrial hemp can be used for any number of things, okay? Any number of things. So, the fact that they have passed this, apparently I'm getting word from the chat room that Proposition 1147, I guess it's a proposition, anyway, it passed the Senate today 26-13 in California. And now is going back to the California State Assembly to consider the Senate amendments. So that's, again, it's the California Industrial Hemp Bill. Fantastic. Yes, we are moving in the right direction, folks. Progressive change cannot be stopped. It cannot be stopped because guess what? We're in charge. They might think they're in charge, but the reality is they're not. They think they are, but they're not. Want to say hi to all the folks in the chat room. Arbor Tender, Art and Eugene, Frozen Soul, Ghetto Blaster, Ray Dean, Randy D, Sarge, Steady, TSM, and Who Knew, including ELO and Peter Godbold, our monitors. Thank you, guys. Glad to have you there. Glad to have you on board for the show. Now, getting over to the story that I really want to focus on today, and I'd love for you to call in and talk about it at 1-877-443-2366. The challenge to the illegal NSA spying. Now, I've been saying this is illegal from the very beginning, and you know it's illegal when the government, you know, intrudes into your privacy and then does it completely outside of the bounds of law, especially when there was a law created just for this purpose. I mean, okay, look, there's a part of me that says, okay, well, I could understand if there was no law at all governing any of this, and they said, well, we're going to do this until you catch us, and then we'll make you write a law. But see, the thing is that there was already a law in place to deal with it. It's called the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, the FISA law. You've heard this over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. I've heard it over and over and over and over again. The Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act was passed by Congress in the wake of the Watergate scandal to deal with this very thing. Exactly. But George, the resident decider, says, oh, no, 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 no. I can't follow the law because I'm the president, and whatever I say is legal. Whatever I say is legal. That's right. In the first federal challenge ever argued against the president's NSA spying program, a district court declared the program unconstitutional and called for an immediate halt to this abuse of presidential power. Yes! I want to read that about 8 times, and every time I'm going to go, score! Judge Anna Diggs Taylor, and we need more female judges, by the way. Absolutely, we need some more female judges. You know, just as a side note, when I go vote, and I do every time the polls are open, every time, I don't care if it's for a stinky little, whether we're going to have garbage pails outside of our houses or not, I always go vote because that is my responsibility in being a citizen of this nation. Judge Anna Diggs Taylor wrote in her, and I always vote for female judges, by the way. When I see a female lined up against the judge thing, you know, of course I get a voting thing, but, you know, to tell me, you know, who is who and what they're about. But 9 times out of 10, if there is a female standing for a judgeship, we could pretty much guarantee that she will more than likely, be fair. And this female judge absolutely has been. Okay, Judge Anna Diggs Taylor wrote in her decision in ACLU versus NSA. I love it. ACLU versus NSA. She wrote in her decision today, quote, it was never the intent of the framers to give the president such unfettered control, particularly where his actions blatantly disregard the parameters clearly enumerated in the Bill of Rights. We don't have kings and queens, folks. We have a check and balance in our government. And the president never had that kind of power to be able to spy domestically. I mean, we had another president did that. His name was Dick Nixon. And he was impeached before he resigned, of course. I believe he was impeached before he resigned. Impeachment, okay, let's talk about that for a second, too, before we go to our break. Impeachment means that there are charges. It doesn't mean that you're convicted. If you're impeached, if you're a president and you're impeached, it means that they've charged you. The House Judiciary Committee has voted on charges against the president. And I believe that the House then votes on the charges. I'm going to have to look into that during our break. You know, you got a happy Bruce today. That's right. Always remember, today is August the 17th, 2006, the day that the Reich Wing began to come unglued. This is the Bruce Birch radio program on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the show today, you can dial 1-877-443-2366, or you can email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Must be the ones those who start to mold a new reality closer to the heart, closer to the heart. Blacksmith and the artist reflected in their art. They forge their creativity closer to the heart.
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
I told Walmart to sell the Easter egg dye kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. We decided at Camp David that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. And God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. And so now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I've got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the Decider. I'm the Decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
That's right. Old Georgie, he's been tied to the whipping post today, hadn't he? Oh, my God, he's been tied to the whipping post. He's been tied down to the whipping post. Why? Well, it couldn't have anything to do with illegal wiretapping? Maybe. Maybe not. Couldn't have anything to do with kidnapping? Rendition. I mean, you name it. These people have broken the law so many times, they don't even know what the law stands for anymore. They don't. They make it up as they go along. Now, you know, it's really interesting. Way back in the days of William Jefferson Clinton, my name's Bill Clinton. Way back in the days of Bill Clinton, you know, everybody was raising hell about the rule of law. Everybody was raising hell that he lied before the grand jury. And he was impeached. Now, yes, Bill Clinton was impeached. Very quick correction. Self-correction. The chat room informed me that indeed Richard Nixon was not impeached. No, they were drawing up articles of impeachment when he resigned. It was imminent. It was going to happen. And instead, he resigned. Now, this president, so thank you folks in the chat room. I'm trying to see who it was specifically that corrected me. Sarge. It was our friend Sarge who did it. Thank you, Sarge. now, okay, as I was saying before, where was I going with that? Yes, Richard Nixon was not impeached. Bill Clinton was. But back during Bill Clinton's reign, there was a bunch of these right-wing zealots that were running around talking about the rule of law. Well, where are they today? Where are they today? They're completely missing in action, aren't they? The very same ones who demanded that Bill Clinton be impeached because he broke the law. And this is, after all, a nation of laws, not of men. The very same ones have backed the Bush administration's illegal wiretapping program to the hilt. You know? They've backed them to the hilt. Now, today we've had a female lady judge out of Chicago. Let's see. I'm just looking to see exactly. The district. It was the Eastern District of Michigan, Southern Division. The Honorable Anna Diggs Taylor, the plaintiffs in the suit were the American Civil Liberties Union, the American Civil Liberties Union of Michigan, the Council on American Islamic Relations, the Council on American Islamic Relations Michigan, Greenpeace Incorporated, the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers, James Bamford, investigative reporter, Larry Diamond, Christopher Hitchens, Tara McKelvey, and Barnett R. Rubin versus the National Security Agency, Central Security Service, and Lieutenant General Keith B. Alexander in his official capacity as Director of the National Security Agency and Chief of the Central Security Service. They were the defendants in the lawsuit. There was a number of findings of fact. There's 40. If you actually go to the ACLU, go to ACLU.org. There is the entire court document is there, and you know, you can go and read the entire deal. It's quite a document to read. She has called for a halt completely. And again, one of her statements, one of the Honorable Anna Diggs Taylor, another one of her statements, and she says here, quote, "There are no hereditary kings in America and no powers not created by the Constitution. So all the president's inherent powers must derive from the Constitution. So just because the power does not exist in the Constitution does not give the president the right to create new powers." And that statement by itself was a smack against the idea, a smackdown, if you will, a judicial helping of smackdown against the idea of this unitary executive. Now, I could be completely out of bounds with this, but I am going to, you know, go ahead and make the assumption that what she's trying to say is that if it doesn't say it in the Constitution, it ain't legal. Okay? If the Constitution does not say that you can do this, you can't do it. Not without the another branch of government delineating that power. Anthony Romero, executive director of the ACLU, says, quote, "Today's ruling is a landmark victory against the abuse of power that has become the hallmark of the Bush administration. Government spying on innocent Americans without any kind of warrant and without congressional approval runs counter to the very foundations of our democracy. Now Congress needs to do its job and stop the president from violating the law." That's going to happen. Oh, I can hear our good friend what's his name? The guy from Pennsylvania, Alan Spector. I can hear Alan Spector right now. He's going to say, "Well, let's just take a look at this thing here. I think what we need to do is run that there warrantless spying program over by the old stuff there. We need to run it by that old FISA court over there. And if the FISA court says it's okay, we'll let you by with it." That's essentially what they did recently, isn't it? The president will agree to allow the FISA court to review the program. Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to make it stop. No. Got too much money wrapped up in it. But you see, Congress really doesn't give a damn about your rights at this point. Congress doesn't really give a damn if the president decides he's going to tap your phone. Perhaps you're a presidential candidate named John Kerry. I don't know. Perhaps you're a presidential candidate named John Kerry. And let's say you made a call out of the country regarding your campaign with some very sensitive information. Chances are that information got recorded. Chances are that information might have been relayed to, maybe the guy in power, your opponent. I don't know. I'm just making some general possibilities here. Who knew in our chat room is saying, very true, Bruce, but I would bet my bottom dollar that it will go to the well-stacked Supreme Court. And you might be right. You might be right. I'm sure the government will probably, if they haven't already, I'm sure they will appeal this ruling because, after all, it's too much money wrapped up in this. Reading another news stories, regarding this, in an injunction ordered, Judge Anna Diggs Taylor didn't just declare that the program is unconstitutional. She also entered an injunction against the federal government ordering an immediate halt to the program. She says, and she finds that the program violates the separation of powers doctrine, the Administrative Procedures Act, the First and Fourth Amendments to the United States Constitution, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and Title III. And we ain't talking about one law. We're talking about a whole slew of stuff. The government is also, under the ruling, barred from monitoring Internet communication without warrants. White House Press Secretary Tony Snow, claimed that the program is firmly grounded in law. The problem is it's Paraguayan law. It's actually some other country's law, not ours. Democrats have hailed the ruling, with former presidential nominee Senator John Kerry blasting the Bush administration on the issue as, quote, "good at hiding the truth and spinning the politics and sorely lacking when it comes to making America safe in the world or bringing people together at home." Let me read it the way he would read it, okay? "It's good at hiding the truth and spinning the politics and sorely lacking when it comes to making America safe in the world or bringing people together at home." Thanks, John. Very, very, very good. I don't know that I would call that a blast. I think I would call this a blast. You ready? You suck! That's blasting the Bush administration. Senator Patrick Leahy characterized the program as, quote, another unfortunate example of how White House misdirection, arrogance, and mismanagement have needlessly complicated our goal of protecting the American people. There goes that protecting the American people again. Yeah, you know, yes, we kind of do expect us to protect the American people. They kind of do expect the government to do that. The people do. But you know something? It can be done without without blurring the lines and without breaking, you know, the very foundation of this country, which would be the Constitution. All right? I'm going to take another break. When we come back, we'll head over to the phone lines. You listen to the Bruce Birch radio program right here on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the show, 1-877-443-2366 is the number. I'll be right back.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. There was a big clue planted at the bottom of the very long lead article in the New York Times. That story noted the alarming rise in insurgent attacks against American and Iraqi forces. The number of IEDs in July was 2,625. Just about twice what it was back in January when Zarqawi was still prowling around. His death did nothing to slow the pace down of the insurgency. The shelf life of Bush propaganda is about only 1 week these days. But back to the clue. The last three paragraphs of this story revealed that senior administration officials are considering alternatives other than democracy, according to a military expert who was just briefed at the White House. Alternatives other than democracy. My, what can those be? Monarchy? Dictatorship? Oddly, in that same newspaper, the New York Times ran a headline about the death of the brutal Paraguayan dictator Alfredo Stroessner, proclaiming him to be a colorful dictator. The Bush administration may be looking for an Iraqi Stroessner or another, just more reliable, Saddam. And wouldn't that be ironic? Yes, Bush did topple a dictatorship, but in its wake he's brought death, destruction, and now perhaps rebirth of dictatorship. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
Nah. You just gotta find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4, and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers, so that becomes an 8, too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
I can feel no sense of measure, no illusions as we take refuge in young man's pleasure, breaking down the dreams we made.
Don't you
Oh, my mic's on. Okay. Hey, you're back on the Bruce Burch radio program. It's about 35 minutes past the hour. And, yeah, you know, if I were a drinking kind of guy, I think I'd be having some champagne right now. It's about time one of the federal courts actually ruled against this bunch of criminal thugs in the White House and, you know, all the insanity. You know, we only know the tip of the iceberg, folks. We only know the tip of the iceberg, but we've been watching them, you know, and we've been watching them do all kinds of insanity, including, you know, all the crap that went on down in New Orleans and Mississippi and Alabama. They're insane. Let's go over to the free speech phone lines. If you want to get in on the show, you too can avail yourself of that opportunity by dialing 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877, the number 4, head on. They'll get you into the studios of the Head On Radio Network where our good friend Zacharias, or whatever his name is, Zach, will pick up the phone and get you in on the show. Let's join, let's invite Sarge on. Sarge is on line one. Sarge, how the hell are you today, my friend?
I'm doing all right, Bruce. I'm happy as can be about that ruling today.
Yes, I am too. Now, of course, you know, it'll probably go to the Supreme Court where the fascists up there will be like, oh, no. But at least we got one little victory. We got to celebrate the victories when they come, right?
Well, you know, Bruce, what they're going to do is they're going to say, well, we can't keep you safe without it. But I'm going to tell you a little story. It can be done because I was in Germany during the Bader-Meinhof times. And how they dealt with it over there, and they actually won. They destroyed the Bader-Meinhof. How they dealt with it, they told the public who they were, what to look for, and when they started to perform some act of violence, the people knew. Like, for instance, while I was at Ramstein, we had a C-5 sitting on the tarmac, and I was the guard on it. And the gate guard was a German national, main gate guard. You could see the main gate from where I was. And he could, he knew what to look for. And some of the Bader-Meinhof came up. And he called them in and told everybody, this is the Bader-Meinhof. Well, they heard that and they took off running and tried to climb the fence to get to the C-5 where I was. And by that time, we had patrols all over the place. And I had my gun, another gun, because mine wasn't working, but that's another story. And we chased them off. And they didn't do any damage that day. So, you see, you don't have to go this route to stop terrorism. It's no different with the Bader-Meinhof or with Al-Qaeda or anybody else. The way you beat terrorism is to inform the public, to inform the police, and make it a police action.
Well, and if you, and, you know, again, as I'm watching the news, I'm not watching it right now because I can't stand to see the little blonde girls talking about more little blonde girls, but it just gets under my skin. But the you know, looking at the television yesterday and watching the little clips from the BBC, I guess it was, the aerial photographs of the bobbies running in and out of the house there that these guys were supposedly occupying over there in Britain. It wasn't, you didn't see soldiers. No, I didn't see any berets. I saw those big, huge bobby caps. You know, those big things that they're huge.
Uh-huh.
Tells me that they're a policeman. Tells me that these folks were policemen. They were not uniformed soldiers, and they definitely weren't, you know, the secret, the MI5 or whatever, or MI6 or whatever it is over there.
Well, I just
these were policemen that busted this.
Sorry, Bruce. I just see a statement from Ray asking if I would join the service today if I was draft age. The answer is no. In fact, I wrote a column the other day about it, and I said, with this nut brain in charge of the military, I tell young people, stay out, because this guy has cut veterans' benefits. They have just totally ruined our military, and Rumsfeld needs to be put in beneath the prison. So, no, to answer Ray's question there, no, I wouldn't.
Now, you're a veteran, right, Sarge?
I served in two branches. I'm a Vietnam-era disabled veteran. I served in the Air Force at that time, and then after I got out, I went back in and served in the Navy. I had to take a medical discharge from the Navy.
Okay. And when you did you ever see any combat?
No, I stayed away from that. I didn't get stuck in it. I was sent to Vietnam at the end of it, but by that time it was just a matter of getting out, so there wasn't much going on then. I had a lot of friends that went. Some of them came back so messed up. It was just awful.
I don't really
think much about it, but I see it going today, and it's just as bad as I've ever seen in my life. And I think if America don't wake up, we're gonna fall. We can't survive this kind of trash.
Well, and it just makes me wonder, Sarge, if that isn't what some of the intention is. If they already have decided that, well, you know, our time as a so-called world superpower, which, of course, that's today's language, in the language of yesteryear, that would have been an empire power, right? Like Britain and Spain and all those had their times. It makes me wonder if the leaders of our country haven't just decided, well, you know, we had our time, and now we're on the downswing.
And if they're trying to speed that along.
The reason why I even say that is because if you look at our financial condition, based against some of the other nations in the world. I mean, basically 40% of our debt, I think I heard the other day, belongs to China.
Well, you know, one thing that I've noticed is it's like talking to my doctor. He complains about the taxes he pays, and yet he votes Republican. And I told him, look, man, you're voting the wrong way. You talk about something you're complaining about, and you're voting for it. So you know, you need to wake up. He said, well, the Democrats be the same way. And that's not true. But that's what they have instilled in these people so hard, that the Democrats will do the same thing. And yet here's a group that does not believe in government. They don't want government. They don't want any kind of government, and they're running the government. I mean, that's like saying a doctor who doesn't believe in surgery is going to be your surgeon.
Exactly. I used to, back before I came on air and started a radio show, I used to, I remember one time I called over to Tom Hartman's radio program, and I said, you know, it doesn't make sense that a party that hates government would be elected to run it.
Yeah, and but by the way, let's make sure we get one thing straight on, so people won't forget this. But we are not at war in Iraq.
That's right.
We are in an occupation.
Exactly.
When you said Tom Hartman, that made me think of it.
And he's absolutely right. And that's another thing that I don't call it a war. I call it an invasion and subsequent occupation.
Right. Look, you Bruce, know. I'm going to get off, but before I do, I want to make sure I invite you and all the other head-on people over to our chat room for the Malloy Show tonight. As always,
absolutely,
we'll be there waiting for you guys.
I've got to slip out after I do my show and take care of some errands this evening, but as soon as I get back, I definitely will come over to powersandmorrison.com, right?
That's it, powersandmorrison.com, and we are always glad to have everybody. Thank you, Bruce. I appreciate you taking your time.
Sarge, have a great afternoon, man. And
you
hope
too,
to hear
sir.
From you soon. Okay. That's our good friend Sarge from over at powersandmorrison.com. If you want to check them out, please do check them out. They got a really vibrant community over there. We got a pretty vibrant community in our chat room as well. But he says during Mike Malloy's show tonight, which is on another network, that's what they say when they talk about it on TV, on another network. Well, we'll say it. It's on Air America. It's the Mike Malloy show. He is great. I love to listen to Mike. And during that show, you can go over to the Powers and Morrison chat room. They've got a cool little chat room over there, a bunch of people that hang around. It's pretty neat. Go check it out. Powersandmorrison.com. Now, we're going to go take a quick break. When we come back, we'll hit the phone lines again. Woo! Burning them up today. This is the Bruce Birch radio program on the Head On Radio Network. I'll be right back.
You may find yourself living in a shotgun shack, and you may find beautiful health with a beautiful wife. And you may ask yourself,
Bob Kincaid. Let's go back to the phones, and we are joined by Beauregard T. Clampett, I'm told, on line one.
Hi there, Bob.
Oh, Mr. Clampett, how are you, sir?
It's fine, sir. You all have had a ruckus on the airwaves this evening, Bob, and I just got to tell you where I fall down on the subject.
And fall down you do, I suppose.
So you catch on quick, I tell you. You're very quick, very quick. But I did want to just, because I kept hearing things like amnesty, and I've had to tell you, Bob, if we have amnesty, we can't work them to death like we're doing. We can't pay them $3 an hour if we let them become citizens now, can we?
That whole 13th Amendment thing's still a thorn in your side, isn't it?
Oh, we won't talk about that either, Bob. Now, we're working on repealing that sucker, but it's going to take a while.
Catch Bob Kincaid weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m., right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Good man underground.
Head on.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fixed stuff.
Did some art projects with the kids.
Cleaned up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed.
And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I could do everything now.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hi, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real, but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, forward it to phishing@irs.gov. That's phishing at irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. Thank you.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Burch radio program. Yeah, that's some good old Frank Zappa there. That's one of the actually, I have a number of Zappa tunes that are that are instrumentals. Are fantastic music. I am into some Frank Zappa. Into it, tell ya. Yes, I am. Let's go back to the phones. 1-877-443-2366 is the number to get in on the show. Our good friend David from Maine is joining us on line two. David, how are you, buddy?
Good evening, Bruce. Yeah, I'm doing all right. A couple of things, a melange of topics that I'd like to discuss today.
Please.
The first topic is the JonaBenet Ramsey. I know nobody wants to hear about it, but the one thing that I just want to say about it is that the right is trying to put on the vice that, you see, the woman wasn't guilty, and to me, and then blame it all on the media, which to an extent it is the media's fault for demonizing the whole family. But I asked this question on a right-wing show, Jerry Doyle. What what was it really, why didn't the husband shield the wife from going on these interviews? She was the one who looked off kilter, and her story didn't add up. And of course you're saying, well, that's because of the grief and everything. Well, the same thing can be said for when Cindy Sheehan goes on a rampage. The right attacks Cindy Sheehan for whatever she says. And my point was that when you look at things in perspective, the big question I ask is, why did the wife go on all these talk shows, all these interviews? Why did she speak to the press?
Well, you know, again, I think, and I'm just as I'm a parent also. You know, I have little kids, and
right.
I'll tell you this: if something were to happen to any of my children, especially like a murder, oh my God, I don't even want to imagine that. But if something like that were to happen, I would imagine two things would happen. There's stages of grief. I don't know if you know anything about the stages of grief, but there's five stages in grief, and the first one is denial, and the second one, I believe, is anger.
Right.
Okay? And the denial phase of grief will cause a person to act in ways that justify, I mean, that basically props up the denial phase. So if something like this happens, then automatically I'm going to start doing things or doing weird stuff to try to justify or rationalize the idea in my own mind that it didn't really happen.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, I mean, it could be any kind of, you know, who knows what that behavior could be. But,
on the family's part, they should have known better.
Right.
That's the way I look at it. The father was quite capable of handling the questions. I mean, they didn't need to drag the mother of Jonah Bene Ramsey, because it was obvious that she was so medicated. I mean, they weren't even thinking when they went on the program like that. And to me, when I saw her and the explanation about the letters and the writing not matching and all that, I still think, I don't care if I'm wrong for this, I still think that she's associated with that murder. That's just me. But when you put yourself out there like that, that's the way I looked at it.
The other thing too, that I'm just going to say this, and I hope I don't piss anybody off, but children are supposed to be children, right?
Right.
They're supposed to be able to go out and play and have a good time and do the things that children do. One of the things, I mean, what was so strange about all of that to me was the fact that they sort of took this little girl and made her into this little poster child. I mean, they tried to make, and this is while she was alive,
right?
You know,
right.
They tried that she was this little model and all this stuff, and you know, and I got to tell you, you know, parents who do that. Now, I'm not the world's best dad. I don't know what my kids would tell you about that,
right?
You know, I mean, I try to do the best I can, but
right.
The one thing that I absolutely do is I do not exploit my kids. You know, if they want to do something, that's great. We'll help them do it. We don't push them. And I have some good-looking kids, you know. And I, you know, if I do say so myself, of course, I'm, you know, very objective. But point being is that, you know, a family that would push their kids into doing that kind of thing is just, I don't know. I really struggle with what I think about folks who do that.
I look at it as this. The right is going crazy over this story right now. And they're basically saying, you see, he confessed. I mean, I don't have the facts on the case, and nobody should be jumping to conclusions that the family did not have anything to do with it. The story still doesn't make sense. I don't care what anyone says. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't add up. And I was looking at it from the standpoint, there has to, I believe that there's an implication of the family member involved, because it just, you know something in your gut when you see something. I know you're just supposed to, but you can't. They're presumed innocent until they're guilty or whatever. But believe me, I look at a gut reaction, and when I hear something from Bush, when I hear something from OJ, it doesn't matter who. I just look at a gut reaction. And I'm like, you know what? Something's not right with that person.
No, absolutely. What else you got on your plate today, my friend?
What else I got on my plate is, you know, I want everybody to check out the Der Spiegel Jimmy Carter interview, which I think is really, really good. And again, the right's going crazy over quotes the Jimmy Carter's thing. I don't know how many shows, but the show that I was listening to in particular was going crazy over what Jimmy Carter had to say, and I urge everybody to check out that interview at Der Spiegel. I don't know the website address, but you can do a Google search and put Der Spiegel Jimmy Carter. It'll come right up.
Okay. I'll definitely will check that out.
And then the other thing I wanted to mention was, of course, this ruling, the nixing of the wiretapping, which you're right, it is a little victory, but in the same sense, there's always a but in the same sense, the Democrats need to have a plan and a strategy, what they're going to do from here. You know, if we look at the whole strategy of and then what, that's what I call our strategy of building and then what. We don't have that. We don't have the and then what. We just have the let's just do this and see if it works. There is no follow-up.
And actually, there wasn't any Democrats actually involved in the lawsuit at all whatsoever. It was all progressive groups like ACLU, the American Islamic Council, the Greenpeace, and a few individuals.
Remember, it took them 48 hours to denounce them saying if a vote for Lamont is a vote for Al-Qaeda. And to me, this is the biggest flaw of the Democratic system or the Democratic Party right now, or whatever you want to call it. I don't know what it is right now, but you need to get out there as soon as something is said about you. This is a game. You have to look at it as a game. I know you don't want to be seen as an aggressor, but guess what? That's how it has to be.
I think you're absolutely right. I can't help but wonder we've got George Lakoff. Why is he not employed directly by the, by the DNC to help them frame the message? I mean, you can get out in front of some of these things. It's possible to go out in front of, like, the situation with Ned Lamont and Joe Lieberman, where you can say, tomorrow you're going to hear this. You're going to hear that a vote for me was a vote for terrorism. Well, I'm here to tell you that when you hear that, it's an absolute falsehood. You know, I mean, why can't they say that?
I don't know. Because
we know that's what's going to happen.
But I think what we need to have is a person, a strategist who is on top of this, and whether it costs megabucks or everything, but who is on top of it, and when something comes down the channel or a particular or the pike or whatever you want to say is right on it, not 48 hours from now. That doesn't make any sense. I don't care. You're getting paid too much for me to even have any sympathy for you, why you didn't put out a word out on denouncing this.
I totally agree. David, I got to go to our top of the hour. You want to hang on or you want to head out?
I'll head on. Pun intended.
Okay. All right, my friend. Thanks for calling in today. I really appreciate it. Talk to you soon. That's our good friend David from Maine. David is an avid listener. Fantastic point of view. You're listening to the Bruce Birch radio program. If you'd like to get archives of this radio program or any other radio program on the Head On Radio Network, just go to headonradionetwork.com, look on the left side of the page, click the archive link. It'll send you right to a place where you can get archives of this show and every other show that we have on our network. If you want to get in on the show, after the top of the hour, 1-877-443-2366. This is Bruce Birch on the Head On Radio Network. I'll see you after the news.
This is the Quality News Network. In Detroit, a federal judge has immediately halted the government's warrantless wiretap program after ruling it unconstitutional. The judge said the National Security Agency's program violates freedom of speech and privacy. The Justice Department will appeal the decision. In Iraq, U.S. military officials reported that last month the number of roadside bombs planted to strike U.S. and Iraqi forces increased greatly. In July, more than 2,600 bombs exploded or were discovered. In Baghdad, Baghdad, two car bomb blasts today killed 10 people. In Afghanistan, near the Pakistan border, a U.S. airstrike killed 12 Afghani police and wounded two. The U.S. military is investigating the incident. Afghan President Hamid Karzai condemned the airstrike. 16 others were killed in violence today, including an American soldier in a landmine explosion. In southern Lebanon, troops began deploying south of the Latani River for the first time in 40 years as the Israeli military continued its withdrawal from the area and handed over some positions to UN peacekeepers. However, the Lebanese cabinet has said that its soldiers will not go after Hezbollah militants nor try to disarm them. At the United Nations, the countries that could be part of a UN peacekeeping force in southern Lebanon will meet today to work out the proposed details. France had been expected to lead the force, but is now saying it only wants to send a small symbolic number of troops to the region. Also today, the United Nations Environment Program pledged $64 million to clean up the oil spill in the Mediterranean that is being called the worst environmental disaster in Lebanese history. The 87-mile-long oil slick occurred after Israeli planes bombed an oil storage depot south of Beirut early in the conflict. In Washington, a State Department official said the U.S. plans to have the United Nations impose penalties on Iran next month for failing to suspend its uranium enrichment program. However, a specific punishment has not yet been proposed. In San Diego, the accused Mexican drug kingpin, who was captured yesterday by the feds on a fishing boat off the Baja coast, was brought to a federal detention center to be booked. Ariano Phoenix is believed to be responsible for moving tons of cocaine and marijuana to the U.S. through massive border drug tunnels. In Cape Canaveral, Florida, NASA announced that August 27th will be the launch date for the Space Shuttle Atlantis. The aim of the shuttle mission will be to restart construction of the half-built International Space Station. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to RightCarRightPrice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to RightCarRightPrice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
In Washington, President Bush signed legislation today that pushes companies to strengthen their pension plans. The Labor Department reports that last week the number of workers filing for unemployment benefits was 312,000. That's a larger drop than economists had expected. Northwest Airlines flight attendants may go on strike as soon as August 25th. In Minneapolis today, a federal bankruptcy judge denied the airline's request to block the strike. Northwest says it will appeal. A privacy rights group has filed a complaint with the FTC over AOL's recent release of customer search records. It accuses AOL of intentionally, not accidentally, releasing the data. A federal judge is expected to rule today on whether tobacco companies violated racketeering laws by hiding the dangers of smoking. In California today, the state's largest auto insurance company, State Farm, said it would start setting rates based on a customer's driving record rather than zip codes where the motorist lives. And as more people rely on cell phones and other electronics to tell time, a market research group has found that the U.S. watch market had nearly a 5% decrease in sales last year. Light sweet crude settled at $70.06 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange today. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow is up 8 points, the NASDAQ is up 8 points, and the S&P 500 is up 2. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Ali Dramov. The time is now 5 minutes past the hour.
It's time for another hour of conversation radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program.
with your host, Bruce Birch.
That's right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program where we try to make sense out of the insanity of the Bush administration. And today, that's right, today we had a judge do it for us. We certainly did. I got to tell you, I'm really impressed. Our friend Lottie in the chat room, he came in and he says he's read the entire brief and that it's brilliant. And I know him well enough to know that if he thinks it's brilliant, it's got to be damned brilliant. I haven't had a chance to read it today. I've been working on a lot of other stuff. I've been working on a lot of other stuff, and so tonight I'm going to sit down and study this thing, and perhaps tomorrow we'll try to get somebody on the show to talk about exactly what happened. I had put in a call to try to get some folks on the show today, didn't pan out, a little too short notice, that kind of thing, but we'll see what we can do. The folks in the chat room right now are having an interesting conversation. I'm not going to tell you what it's about, but I will say that if you go show up, it's kind of fun. Welcome to everyone in the chat room. Let's see, who we got? ELO, John Fox, Laterge, Peter Godbold, Rama, Art and Eugene, DJ, Frozen Soul, Ghetto Blaster, Randy D, Ray Hinckley, Rowdy, Sarah, Sarge, Steady, Timber Monkey. Bunch of folks in there today, hanging out, having a good time. Welcome to the show. Now, as you heard at the top of the hour, you can do, you can get in on the show if you're so inclined by calling 1-877-443-2366. Let's go back over to some of the news stories that are happening now that, you know, apparently the Department of Justice has appealed the ruling, which will send it from that court to the next level, okay? And we know what may eventually happen. We know what may eventually happen. It may be eventually that you know, it goes to the Supreme Court, in which case it's sort of a toss-up as to what might happen. You know, I want to say it's a toss-up. You know, we got John Roberts, Fat Tony Scalia. We got and his minion. I can't even think of his name because he's so unremarkable. Clarence Thomas, that's his name. You got the new one, Alito, number four there. And I was trying to think of the other one that hangs in the balance. I think it's Anthony Kennedy. So that's five. Now, it could very well be that it could sway the other direction. It could be very well be that the Supreme Court would decide that, yes, indeed, the president does not have king-like powers and sway it and shut down the NSA program. But the thing is, you know, here, folks, that I don't want to lose sight of this. These folks, this is 6 years into this program. 5 years, anyway. 5 years that we're aware of into this program, finally a ruling is put forth to shut it down. Well, does that mean that if they start another one up, it would take another 5 years to shut it down, too? I mean, we need to be realistic about this. I don't want to say it's too little too late, because it is a victory. Absolutely. It makes me damn happy to see somebody finally stand up for the Constitution of the United States. But on the same token, you know, look at what we've had to go through to get to this point. It is ridiculous that I am sitting here in a chair talking to you over the radio about a victory for the Constitution. It is ridiculous that I'm sitting here talking about a president who has assumed king-like powers to do whatever in the hell he wants when he wants, because, after all, he's the decider. And following that line of reasoning, he did make some other decisions this week. Yesterday, he pardoned 17 minor criminals. He's issued 99 pardons and sentence commutations during 5 years and 7 months in office, mainly to clear the name of people who had committed relatively minor offenses and served their sentences long ago. I'm just going to go give you a little bit of a... Uh, um, like a smattering, I guess, of some of the people that he pardoned. One of them, Robert Carter Eversole, Somerville, Georgia, conspiracy to commit theft from an interstate shipment. Sentenced in 1984 to 5 years probation. With the special conditions that you pay $4,338 in restitution, perform 100 hours of community service. Kenneth Clifford Foner of Niobrara, Nebraska. I'm sure those people in Niobrara aren't happy about me saying their city name that way. Conspiracy to impede the functions of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, commit embezzlement as a bank officer, make false entries in the records of an FDIC-insured bank, and commit bank fraud. In 1991, he was sentenced to 5 years probation, conditioned upon performance of 1,000 hours of community service and payment of $17,750 in restitution. Oh, here's a good one. Here, let me read this one to you. William Grover Fry, Indianapolis, Indiana. Absence without leave, two specifications, escape from lawful confinement, sale of a stolen motor vehicle in interstate commerce. Dude was he was on the lam, seriously. Sentenced in 1968 by U.S. Army General Court Martial to confinement at hard labor for 1 year, forfeiture of all pay and allowances, and a bad conduct discharge. He was sentenced in U.S. District Court in 1973 to 2 years probation. He is now pardoned by the decider. I was thinking about applying for a pardon. Maybe I should get a pardon, because after all... Jerry Dean Walker. Maybe we finally found the link to the cocaine thing. Jerry Dean Walker, Newark, Delaware, possession with intent to distribute cocaine. Sentenced April 10th, 1989, to 3 years imprisonment, as amended October 19th, 1989. Maybe that's the key, folks. I don't know. All right, moving right along. Looks like we've got, let's see, I'm going to take a break here in a couple seconds. But, yeah, there's some more. There's some more of the decisions, the idiotic decisions of the Bush administration. Bill Clinton issued 457 pardons in 8 years of office. This one's only issued 80 or 99. So there's that. Now, as promised... Our daily, I guess it's our daily Terra story. Dick Cheney, not to be outdone by himself, has come out and said, there's no guarantee we won't be hit again. In appearances on behalf of candidates for the U.S. Senate and House in Montana yesterday, Vice Resident Decider Dick Cheney slammed Democrats, defended the war on terror, and touted the nation's strong and growing economy. He campaigned for Conrad Burns, whom he called a patriot, and for State Representative Bill Saley, the GOP candidate for the state's first congressional district. Listen to this, though. At the Saley fundraiser, more protesters attended than supporters of the candidate. More protesters than supporters. I love it. It's great. Americans, you rock. This is great. His staffers attributed the poor attendance at the vice president's appearance to, quote, scheduling conflicts. In other words, hell no, I wouldn't be caught dead in that place. Not with that dark side Darth Vader looking moronic pink man. Okay. Vice President Dick Cheney, again, blasted Democrats for not supporting the war in Iraq and said, Montanans need to re-elect a Republican Conrad Burns to make sure the administration can carry out its wartime plans. We are going to take over the world. The vice president, speaking at a fundraiser for Burns on Wednesday, said the administration is sticking by its plan to stay in Iraq as long as it takes to make sure the country is stable. No word yet on how they're going to do that, but hey, you know, that's what they're going to do. He said it would be wrong to set deadlines for withdrawing troops. And so it goes. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do whatever happens next. That's the way it works, right? Yeah. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program right here on the Head On Radio Network. I'll be right back.
Everywhere is freaks and heroes, dykes and fairies. Tell me where is sanity.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fixed stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Cleaned up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
And I feel like I can do everything now.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Some dreams are universal. Dreams that inspire us. Multiple sclerosis is a devastating disease that changes lives forever. The National MS Society does more for people with MS than any organization in the world. But we can't do it alone. To get involved, visit us online at nationalmssociety.org or call 1-800-FIGHT-MS. This is why we're here. Because nobody dreams of having multiple sclerosis.
I've seen you in the markets, I've seen you in the streets, and at your political conventions. Talking of your crusade, talking of your nation, and other things too terrible to mention. and you proclaim your Christianity. You proclaim your love of God. You talk of apple pie and mine. I've just got one question, and I want an answer. Tell me, who would Jesus bomb? Maybe Jesus would bomb the Syrians, 'cause they're not Jews like him. Maybe Jesus would bomb the Afghans on some kind.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program, radio for a freer and more prosperous America. Oh, Dick Cheney. Yeah, what a dick. Okay. You know, we've been talking about a lot of different things today, but the first thing that really comes to mind is the whole wiretapping situation. Now, if you too would like to get on the show, you can do that. You can dial 1-877-443-2366. That'll get you into the terrorist hotline. No. That'll get you into the studios of the Head On Radio Network. Okay, and then you can get on with me. I'm reading a story right now. We're not going to. You know, our friend David from Maine clicked in and he came to talk about the whole JonBenet Ramsey thing. Right, but apparently justice is swift in California, and none other than Mel Gibson pleaded no contest today to a misdemeanor drunken driving charge, and he was sentenced to 3 years probation. So now that you know justice is swift, at least in the case of the rich folks. Down in Mexico, south of the border today, the top electoral court rejected complaints about the July congressional election and gave conservative candidate Felipe Calderon's party the largest stake in the legislature. Leftist candidate Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador lost the July 2nd presidential vote by a hair, and his party of the Democratic Revolution, or PRD, has challenged the result, alleging that fraud occurred. And Greg Palast has been down there, and he's also asserting that as well. Calderon's ruling National Action Party will have 52 seats in the Senate, more than other parties, but still short of a majority. Okay, the Institutional Revolutionary Party, which has ruled Mexico for most of the 20th century, will have 33 seats in the Senate, and the PRD, the Party of the Democratic Revolution, will have 28 seats in the Senate there. Also today, apparently, there was a scare in West Virginia, in Huntington, apparently, I believe. Authorities evacuated a West Virginia airport terminal after a test on two plastic containers carried by a female passenger showed a possible explosive. What was it, Jack Daniels? Transportation Security Administration spokesman Christopher White said around 100 passengers were evacuated from the terminal. Gotta be scared, folks. Gotta be scared. They were evacuated from the terminal at Tri-State Airport in Huntington, West Virginia, after security checks identified four items containing liquids in a carry-on bag carried by a passenger. White said in a taped statement that the two containers tested positive for explosive materials. It's my understanding that some things, if you leave them out in the heat long enough, they will explode in the sunlight. So who knows what it could have been. Happening tomorrow here in North Carolina, there is an action that will let's see if I can dig it up here. There is an action that's going to be occurring at our state house, And it is about the Smith. I don't know if you folks remember, but a few weeks ago I reported on a situation at one of the Smithfield plants, Smithfield meats, Smithfield hams, pork, etc. Let's see if I can find this. I'm digging it up, folks. There's actually an action that's planned for tomorrow in Raleigh, North Carolina. That's going to be starting around 4 o'clock, I believe. So if you want to, you know, if you're in North Carolina, you want more information about this, and you want to go out and be a part of that, go to SmithfieldJustice.com. SmithfieldJustice.com. 5,500 workers who have been trying to unionize a plant for years, and people have been killed. They've been beaten up. The National Labor Relations Board has ruled that Smithfield has illegally treated workers, badly. It's just nasty. It's just nasty. And those people need to be able to have the opportunity to unionize, should they find that to be an option that they want to do. You know, it just makes sense. No matter how you feel about what they do for a living, they need to have that opportunity. That's absolutely imperative in my view. Also, apparently, Duke Cunningham's wife is telling all to Kitty Kelly. Nancy Cunningham has been interviewed by Kitty Kelly in a lengthy interview appearing today at The New Republic. Ms. Cunningham claims that her imprisoned husband dumped a bag full of dirty underwear and $32,000 in cash in her driveway. She also recounts her life with the disgraced and convicted and serving time in federal prison former congressman and an apparent struggle to build a life without him. So she was only married to him for a couple of years. Here's an excerpt from the interview. 2 years after marrying Duke, Nancy filed for divorce and a restraining order. She said in court papers that her husband is a very aggressive, spontaneously assaultive person. It sounds like a typical Republican. And I fear for my immediate physical safety and well-being. She later had a change of heart. He put on that poor, sad dog face of his, she said, and they reconciled. According to Nancy, he was shell-shocked from his tour in Vietnam and had nightmares about parachuting into waters filled with bodies of Viet Cong. She said, when we first married, he slept with a knife under his pillow. Well, the knife graduated to a loaded gun. Ugh, these people. And these are the folks, you know, this is the guy who was in charge of the... They're mentally ill, I'm telling you. You know, whatever, they're mentally ill. They have PTSD, ASD, ADD, DEA, they're just crazy. They're mentally ill. They are mentally ill and they need help. And they don't need to be running the government. And just a perfect example of that before I go to the break, again, I'll report the numbers to you one more time. 3,438 Iraqis were killed just last month because of sectarian violence. Civil war in the occupied Iraq. Yeah, freedom's on the march. This is Bruce Burch radio program on the Head On Radio Network. I'm going to take a break, and then I will be right back for the rest of the show.
Did you hear him talking about it on the radio? Did you try to read the writing on the wall? Did that voice
said it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
Day by day. I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. How out to lunch is Bush? On Monday, he held a luncheon with a bunch of academics to discuss Iraq, and according to some of the participants quoted in the New York Times, he couldn't for the life of him figure out why the Iraqi people aren't more grateful for all that he and the U.S. troops have done for them. The timing of the story wasn't so great for Bush, though, because on the very same page was a story that noted that July appears to have been the deadliest month of the war for Iraqi civilians, with an average of more than 110 Iraqis dying every day there. The rate is nearly double what it was in January. That's just one little clue for the clueless commander-in-chief. According to the Times, in the first 7 months of this year, at least 17,776 Iraqi civilians died violently. If there's anarchy, and if you can't go out of your home for fear of being murdered, what's there to applaud? Bush likes to say he liberated the people of Iraq, but many are tasting that liberty in the grave. And now he has the audacity to complain about Iraqi ingrates? Rather than take responsibility for the mess he's made, Bush is going into self-pity mode. Poor, powerful him. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
You're back on the Bruce Birch radio program where we try to make some sense out of the insanity of the world that's going on around us. Now, I realized when I said something a few minutes ago that I want to clarify something. You know, the folks who, like Duke Cunningham, who have had situations in battle where they have dealt with certain things, and as a result, something happens and they're not able to function the same way. You know, it's one thing entirely, you know, for someone to have that situation in their life. And I don't want to belittle that. I think that's those issues are very real and very important, and they need to be dealt with. My problem is when we have people like Duke Cunningham who has those issues and yet turns around and supports sending a whole new crop of young men into a war where they will have the same kinds of reactions that he did. That's sick to me. That's very sick to me. You know, and it shows that he didn't learn his lesson, apparently. It's a damn sad thing. Let's go over to the phones. If you want to get in on the show, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. I'd like to hear what you might have to say about all this today. Our good friend Bob from North Dakota is joining us on line one. Bob, how are you today?
Nice. That was cute. Yeah, hey, me and Randy, we fit in the same mold, don't we?
Do you?
Oh, not me.
I don't think so. I don't think so, Bob, because I think that if the situation were switched and you were in his shoes, you wouldn't have supported this Iraq occupation like he has, would you?
No, I wouldn't. But, dang, that was a nice pull-out. I was going to give you hell for calling on guys with PTSD. Crazy. We ain't crazy. We're just sick. You know?
You're absolutely right.
We got,
and I realized that over my break, and you know, and so I withdraw that comment, and I apologize if I offended you at all.
Well, I accept. Hey, Bruce. Hey, buddy, I love you. Okay, like a brother. Okay, like a son. I care about you. I care about head on. I care about everybody that listens to me. But you got to realize that people like me. You know, really want to see a change, but we don't want war. We hate war. I hate war more than you can even. You can even imagine how much I hate it. Okay?
Yeah.
You can't even. You can't even go there, because you would have had to been there to understand where I'm coming from, and I'm just a combat veteran. I mean, I was a grunt. I was a Vietnam veteran grunt. I was a United States Marine Lance Corporal in that crap, okay?
Yeah.
In that crap, back then. And when I hear about boys and girls dying today, oh my God, son, I can't even tell you the horror I see in my own eyes, in my brain, in my mind, when I try to sleep at night. And they give me pills to make me forget, okay? It's called triazidone. You ever hear of it? You work with that. You've heard of triazidone?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're not?
Trazodone, right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's to make us forget, to make us sleep, so we won't dream. And most of you don't have an idea what's in our heart, what's in our soul, what's in our mind. We've been in hell, and you want us to take and send our babies there?
Which is what I don't understand.
Huh?
Which is what I don't understand, Bob. I don't understand how someone could live through that and turn around and want to send more
Duke
kids.
Duke's not a ground fighter. He's a flyer. He never got really shot down. He didn't go through anything that a POW went through. He never was in grunt land. All he was is, hey, the big ace of Vietnam. That's all he was, period. Do you understand where I'm coming from? He didn't get hurt. And then he took it to the nth degree. He was a guy that shot down planes. He didn't shoot down men. He shot down targets. Just like they do now. Just everything's a GD target. I almost said the bad words, and Agnes almost kicked my butt out again. See, because you people don't understand. Everybody thinks it's a damn video game, but they ain't smelled the blood or heard cries. They're branches. Men begging them to come get them when they can't, because you're under fire and you can't get them out of the hole. And you just want to go get them, and you can't. And some son of a bitch I ain't gonna let you. And I grabbed his belt when he was trying to run out there to a boy screaming for his mama. And you people don't even understand it. Oh, you do. When I take Bob. Them on in the chat room, I take them on because I know who they are. Because I've been there. And now I want to quit. I don't want to ever come back. I just want to go away and die and be a dead, rotten corpse, and then I'll be a skeleton. They can pick me up 10,000 years from now and shit on me again like they're shitting on me now. And that's what I'm saying to y'all. You people crap on Best every day, every doggone one of you. You Democrats, you progressives, you Republicans, you conservatives, you crap on us every day, and then you say, oh, you fly your CD flag in front of your house and say, I'm an American. You don't know what it's like to be American under fire. I'm sorry, Bruce, but I'm
No, don't be. Don't be sorry, because you know what? Dude, you're feeling this. You know, and
I deal with vets all the time, Bruce. I know you do. I know
yeah,
you
I do.
But you
and you know something, my
heart.
Friend?
You don't know what's in our soul. You don't know what we carry on our back every day. You don't know what we carry. None of you do. You don't know what's inside. All you know is what you hear on the GDTV or the GD radio. You don't know nothing. None of you do. You just tell everybody you do. You try to tell everybody how to think, how to walk, how to talk, when to fight, how to fight. But you don't carry it on your back. You carry it in your head, not in your heart, not in your soul. You don't carry it nowhere. The only place you carry it is in your belly with a big fire. You're going to take out this GBW, okay? But you ain't got no sand in you. You ain't got no sand in you. None of you got no sand in you. All you got is just a bunch of ideas. Just a bunch of ideas. And you're gonna tell everybody, David up in Maine, he's a thinking boy. Straight up, he does his job, and he does it because he's
Bob. Hey, Bob, I want to tell you something, my friend, that this one, at least one guy here cares a great deal about you.
I know.
And I all I want to see is no more hurt and no more pain get created like you feel in your heart, my friend.
You know what I want you to do? Don't create no
What's that?
More of Gutty Bob. Don't create no more of me, please. All you people out there, don't create no more Gutty Bob.
We're working as hard as we can to try to make that a reality, my friend. Bob, I want you to go ahead and take a deep breath and do what you need to do to help yourself there, okay?
I just want to quit. I just want to quit. You know? I just want to quit. Because you're like, kind of like the only voice of reason I got out there anymore. And nobody's making any reason. Nobody's thinking. They and it's my fault, okay? Sorry. You hung up?
No, I'm here, but I can barely hear you, so.
Oh, don't ever call me sir. I'm a grunt. I'm a ground punk. I'm a boy with carrying it on my back. You want my friends? I am what I say I am. I'm not a liar, okay? I don't like it when people say I'm a liar, okay? Or treat me like I'm less than they are, and now I'm a second-class citizen. I'm not even first-class anymore. First-class one supports George Bush. Well, I'm not even that. I do not and never will. Goodbye and good luck. And hey,
thank you, Bob. And Bob, all the folks in the chat room are telling me to tell you that they care. Okay. So just take a deep breath and keep trudging forward. We need folks like you around, man, in this movement to try to bring some sense back into this.
Did you call this a movement? The 60s was a movement. Hey, at least we had free love back then. I didn't get any. I always wanted some. I never got none of them. You know, what was that? Golden hair. I never got none of that.
You got some Sister Glenda hair, right?
Huh?
you got some Sister Glenda hair. That's
well,
fine.
Yeah, well, that was long after. I came back after my second tour and met her. And she was the only one that gave me this. My family rejected me. My mother died. I couldn't even go to her funeral because I wasn't welcome. My father died. I couldn't go to his funeral because I wasn't welcome. Because I'm not a Republican, I don't go along with their thinking. See, but I was the only guy in my immediate family that asked me what to Vietnam. I'm the only guy that actually went to combat. I'm the only one, and I was the only one rejected. So take that into your smoking pipe.
I will, but you know what, something, Bob? Just, I want you to hear this, my friend.
Okay.
I'm not rejecting you, and I refuse to, and I won't. Okay?
How could
you? You put that in your smoking pipe, all right?
I love it. You got the pipe in you, son. Oh, jeez, I love that. I love that. Like I tell my boys, don't kill nobody. Because when you kill a man, kill a piece of yourself, and when you kill a whole bunch of people, you kill yourself over and over again. Don't go and kill no human being for no damn reason. None. If you drop bombs 10,000 feet or if you shoot a man in the face, at least the man that's standing before the man sees the man die, not the man flying around up there dropping bombs, but the man that stands before the man and has to do it. For him, it's an eternal hell. Hell you can't even imagine. Hell you can't even think of. The hell that I live every day of my life when I have to, you know, at times I just gotta, you know, have a few beers and get stupid. And then call up Bruce Burton, act like an asshole. Yeah.
Well, you know something. I appreciate your call, Bob. I really do.
Sorry.
I've got somebody waiting on the line, and I really want to get to him. But you know something. I love you, brother.
I love you too, son. And don't call me brother again. Call me.
Yes, sir. I mean sergeant.
No, call me sergeant. There you go. Get done well, and maybe you'll get it straight. Yeah. See you later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, have a good afternoon, Bob.
Hey, it's evening. Yes.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. That's our good friend Bob from North Dakota, who, I don't know what more to say about that aside from let's go ahead straight over to the next phone call. Our good friend Jim is joining us from somewhere in the Northern Hemisphere. Jim, how are you doing today?
Yeah, let me give you a little POI in talking to NCOs. When you talk to a sergeant and call him sir, he'll tell you, don't call me sir, I work for a living. Okay? That's
I do that. I do that just to mess with him.
Well, I really don't think he needs a lot of messing with. I really feel sorry for that man. I really do. But I wanted to ask you about this Supreme Court case decision. Now, they're going to, DOJ is going to appeal that. And it's going to go.
Correct.
It's going to go through where the Washington Circuit Court of Appeals, and then over to First Avenue.
I would imagine so. I haven't gotten that far into the ruling to find out exactly what the next step is.
All right. Now, which court ruled this, Bruce?
Eastern District, Michigan.
Okay. Then it's going to go to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, and from that point forward, it'll go over to Supreme Court over on First. So.
Okay. That's the old John Roberts Court, right?
Well, that's where it's going to end up. So, you know, it's a victory today, but what could be a victory today could very well be a reversal of fortune tomorrow. So,
yeah.
I would be very guarded before I got my hopes up on this one.
Well, and that's why I was looking at sort of the makeup of the Supreme Court to see where they might fall down on this.
Well, I can tell you where they'll fall down.
I think Anthony Kennedy is going to be the one who's going to be in the balance on this one.
Well, who knows? But here's the thing. Even with something like that, with the NSA, let me share something with you. They do what they want
sure.
to do. Regardless of what any court says, they do what they want to do. Okay?
Right.
And nobody really is going to slap their wrist because when you get into black ops and things like that, then that's just above everything. It knows no law. It has no boundary. There is no restriction on it. And that's just the world. That's just the politics of reality, and not politics, but that's just the mechanisms and the way they work. And, you know, right now you've got an administration that says that we're in a war and the exigencies thereof demand this, that, and the other. Well, if you want to be practical about it, be very guarded in your optimism as far as getting that repealed, because I think they basically would like to not only bug your phone, but they want to be able to rule the Internet as well.
Sure, sure. Although...
I mean, they're listening to you and me right now. I can assure you.
Oh, sure they are. Oh, absolutely. And actually, back when I was doing my other show, every Monday morning without fail, I would have a government address download my show from Sunday. So you know, I know it. I feel kind of important knowing that they're checking me out.
Well, cool. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's one thing that I would like to share with you, and it's an old adage of mine. And it's this. Sometimes the finest command that one can exercise of any language is to say nothing.
I don't know that would work in talk radio, but...
I think it works anywhere you are if you use your mind and use your tongue accordingly, because, you know, I've always had the expression, heard the expression, sometimes you're never sorry for things you don't say.
That's true. That's
very
true.
So, on that note, I'm going to bid you adieu and hope you have a good afternoon in North Carolina, and I hope you get all your errands ran. And my regards to your family and your dog.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
My regards to yours as well. Okay. That's our good friend Jim from an undisclosed location. He had some interesting comments there. So, very cool. You know, we were going to go to a break. We're not going to do that, though. We're so far into the end of the program that it doesn't make sense to do that. I just wanted to recap something, and I guess... Maybe the best way that I can put this is, you know, it breaks my heart to talk with those who have served this nation thinking that it was for one reason and realizing later that it was another. It breaks my heart because, see, they are mentally damaged by what they've done for our country. They're taught to kill. They're taught to destroy the enemy by any means necessary, and then once they're discharged from the military, they're brought back here and dropped back into our society as if nothing ever happened, as if all of the actions that they took in the name of freedom and democracy didn't happen, or just a dream of some sort. And then the nightmares start. And then the cold sweats start. And then the agoraphobia starts. And then the claustrophobia. I mean, you name it. All the phobias begin to come out of the closet because this person needs help. Today we had an interesting conversation with our friend Bob, who is hurting. May we never create another Gunny Bob. May we never create another man or woman who can't sleep at night because of the death and destruction and the blown up bodies that have happened. We went to Iraq for one reason only, because the Bush crime family wanted us to go there. Back in the 1960s, there was another place called Vietnam, and many of our men and women went there and came back broken people for the rest of their lives. How many more do we have to lose before we learn a lesson? And you know, they're walking around among us, folks, and they're hurting. And they deserve our love, and they deserve our caring, and they deserve our respect and honor. And our government doesn't even give them that. And wants to charge them for their hospital stays, and wants to charge them for the medication that they have to take because they can't sleep because of all the things that have happened to them. We've got to get these thugs out of the offices. We've got to get rid of this insane government that is created. You know, I don't want to end this on a very sour note, but the bottom line is, guys, we have a lot of work out in front of us. Yes, there was a small victory today, but we have a huge amount of work out in front of us. And one of those jobs is to make sure we don't create any more Bob from North Dakota's. If we can honor him in any way, that's it. The radio program today was produced by my good friend Zach Rebich at the Head On Radio Network studios in West Virginia. The announcer and also chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network was my good friend John Fox. Fantastic guy. I love that guy. Just an amazing guy. Let's see, Peter Godbold, Godbold Computer Services of Tallahassee, Tallahassee, Florida, is our IT professional and systems analyst and well-rounded web aficionado. Also, our web stream and archives is managed by Ben Birch, no relation to me, of the WhiteRoseSociety.org.